Lift off. Hey, everybody. It's Corinne, and welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. As always, I feel so much gratitude that everybody is taking the time out of your busy day to pause and to join and to share these healing ideas, because as we share them, we strengthen them in our own minds and in the minds of others. So let's begin with our opening meditation. If you're moving around or busy, pausing, and really feeling the holiness of what it is that we are doing. As we become willing to bring our minds into that place of truth within us, the place of our right perception, the place where the Holy Spirit abides. It's this deep place where we learn how to listen to only one voice. And just connecting with your willingness and offering your willingness to Holy Spirit, being willing to loosen the world from all we thought it was, being willing to hold on to nothing, being willing to be taught, to be shown. Above all else, we want to see. Above all else, we want to see differently. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives, and we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice mindful breath in, nice and deep, and out, and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right. So turning our attention to the words on the pages of this purple or blue book, depending on what edition you have. I'm reading from the Circle of Atonement edition. There it is, page 762. The subheading is God is not insane. In the Sparkle edition, it's page 587. It's called Commuting the Sentence. In the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's chapter 25, part 8, also called Commuting the Sentence. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 25, part 7. It's called The Rock of Salvation. Okay, so this is where we left off 2 weeks ago, since we had our special Christmas reading last week. And what I'm going to do in this first paragraph is actually pause after the first sentence and then read you the footnote, because it sort of ties into what we read 2 weeks ago, and rather than go back, Robert Perry just does a beautiful job of summarizing it, so I'm just going to read what he wrote. So our subheading, God is not insane, or commuting the sentence, or the rock of salvation. I like God is not insane. And if the Holy Spirit can commute each sentence that you laid upon yourself into a blessing, then it cannot be a sin. Number one, I'm laughing because I wondered how they came up with the subheading in the other edition. And there it is, right there in that first sentence. But let me just read the footnote that's attached to this first sentence. It says, commuting each sentence that you laid upon yourself into a blessing is a reference to the teaching in the previous section, in which the Holy Spirit takes the specialness that each one chose to hurt himself and turns it into a means for his salvation. The Holy Spirit does this by transforming specialness from a means of triumphing over our brothers into our special role in serving our brothers. That's beautiful. So, okay, I'm going to reread that and I'll just keep flowing. If the Holy Spirit can commute each sentence that you laid upon yourself into a blessing, then it cannot be a sin. Sin is the one thing in this world that cannot change. It is immutable, and on its changelessness the world depends. The magic of the world can seem to hide the pain of sin from sinners and deceive with glitter and with guile. Yet each one knows the cost of sin is death, and so it is. For sin is a request for death, a wish to make this world's foundation sure as love, dependable as heaven, and as strong as God himself. The world is safe from love to everyone who thinks sin is possible, nor will it change. So we'll pause there. So again, our first sentence is just referring to this idea that we've talked about so many times that is just throughout the course, that the Holy Spirit repurposes everything that we've made, even our specialness, even our desire for specialness. The Holy Spirit repurposes that desire for specialness into our special function to serve our brothers, to wake up. Then it goes on to talk about sin and how this idea of sin, which of course in course terms is just a mistake, there is no sin, but according to the ego, sin is the one thing in this world that can't change. It's not changeable, and the belief in sin is what keeps the world going, because the belief in sin that something is absolutely unforgivable blocks out love. It blocks out our awareness of love, and it says that the magic of the world can seem to hide the pain of sin with glitter and with guile. So that's all of the ego's tricks and tactics and offerings and things that it says are going to make us happy. When we get that, then, you know, then I'll be happy, then I'll be okay, then, you know, when I, whatever it may be, that's the ego's offering of glitter and guile, but it's you know, disguised of a belief in death and sin. So it goes on to say, too, that sin is a request for death, a wish to make this world's foundation sure as love, dependable as heaven, and as strong as God himself. And that might seem a little bit like a harsh or a really strong statement, but if you think about it, a belief in the unforgivable is a belief in death. It's the opposite of what God is, what we are. It's the opposite of what is eternal and what is reality. I also was struck by that second to last sentence where it says, the world is safe from love. The world is safe from love to everyone who thinks sin is possible. So literally thinking sin is possible, we are blocking out our awareness of love. We're just muffling it, and we're no longer going to be aware of the truth because, you know, we're believing what the body's eyes behold.
Corinne?
Yes.
It's Homera. I was watching something. Hi. I was watching this documentary on Mr. Rogers, you know, Fred Rogers, who did the Won't You Be My Neighbor on the PBS. And, you know, it was, you know, the show obviously is very popular in the U.S. and children grew up with it, but I didn't know what, like, a holy man this guy was. And, you know, the premise behind, first of all, I didn't know he was a minister. He was a minister. And then the premise behind his teaching of, you know, that everyone is special. And that's what he kept saying to the kids when he was teaching through his ministry, which was the television shows that he was doing for children. He kept saying, you're special. You know, you're special. You are exactly how basically God made you, without using, you know, religious language. And I was watching this documentary, and they were talking about him. And then later on, you know, some of the reporters, especially like from Fox and News and everything, like 10 years later, were saying that, you know, he was an evil, evil man, because what he was teaching is that everybody's special and you have to earn your specialness. And, you know, and now we have a generation of kids that grew up thinking that they're really, you know, special without really trying to do anything, without really trying to strive for anything, which was not what he was saying. And even in one of his speeches, he even explained what he meant, that, you know, every single human being here is a child of God, pretty much, and that their specialness is innate, is in who they are as a kind of aspect of God. But I was just, you know, kind of like floored by how the ego mind, because it's all of us, right? It's not just Fox people. It's all that the ego mind can go to that place where we can completely negate such a simple truth that we're all innocent beings, and to make it into something else. I mean, you know, this guy had nothing, but the message was all love, unconditional love, and, you know, that you're innocent, basically, that you have the goodnesses within you. You don't have to do anything special to make or create goodness. But yet all that message got turned around by some people because of just, you know, the ego mind and what it does. And so when you were reading this and that, you know, that we're, you know, the changelessness and that the sin, that sin is the one thing in this world that cannot change, that just came to mind. I don't know if it's relevant, but it really came to mind strong, so I thought I'd share it.
I am so glad you did. It's totally relevant. Number one, I have to see that documentary now because
it's
fascinating to hear that he was actually a minister and, like, this was his ministry, a children's show where he shared these messages without using the religious language. Like, that is just amazing. And I remember seeing a clip about him where I can't remember what was happening in the world, but it was something having to do with racism. And he countered whatever event that it was that had happened, he countered that with an episode with him and a black man sharing, I think it was like a foot bath or something, like he was like washing the other man's feet.
Yes, it was during the time where they were segregating, you know, the pools, so in hotels they wouldn't allow black people to share the same pool. And what he did, he had a show where it was a hot day and he was washing his feet. And he invited one of the black gentlemen that is on his show to kind of share the foot bath with him as a kind of a statement that it's okay. And he was just beyond, like, amazing.
Absolutely amazing. And I'm so glad that you brought it up because your story about the people taking his message and just twisting it, that there shows we have a choice in every single instance. We can choose to be open and receptive and be that open channel, be a powerful sending and receiving channel of love, or we can choose to block that out. We can choose to twist and to distort and to listen to the ego, to do what the ego does to block that and to totally then stay focused on the world and the insanity and the craziness of the world and keep it going. And so, like, that's when you were speaking to that really came up for me strongly, that shows we have a choice, you know, in every single moment how we're going to see something. And then if we are choosing to be that powerful sending and receiving channel and a brother is choosing to block it, our getting angry at that brother or condemning that brother or correcting that brother is just then getting totally lost in what the brother is doing. We're then sort of, you could say, like, sinking down to that same level, so to speak.
Yes, colluding with the same.
Yeah, we're right back in ego. And so that's where it is our job as that powerful sending and receiving channel to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit's vision to come through us so we can see past the brother's craziness and insanity and side with the truth, with the light that is in them, even if it seems very, very buried. So I am just so inspired, Homaira, by you sharing that, and I'm going to have to check out that documentary.
Oh, I'm glad. Oh. Yeah, it's great. Oh. I think you'll really like it. It's only a little bit over an hour, but it's really amazing. Very uplifting and inspiring. Yeah.
Awesome. 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 Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This is Sue. There is a movie out with Tom Hanks about Mr. Rogers.
Oh, really?
It was in the theaters recently, or it's in there now, and I'm interested to see it now because I would like to see Hollywood's take on
Interesting. You know what? I saw a preview with Tom Hanks acting, and I had no idea what it was about, and that's probably what it was. So that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I want to see that now.
Yeah. You just came up with my movie list for the next couple of weeks.
Awesome.
Oh, wonderful. Awesome. Thank you for that, Hamira. And Sue, that was, I'm so inspired. Mm. All right. Any other comments before I keep reading? Okay, here we go. Yet is it possible what God created not should share the attributes of his creation when it opposes it in every way? It cannot be the sinner's wish for death is just as strong as his will for life, as is his will for life. Nor can the basis of a world he did not make be firm and sure as heaven. How could it be that hell and heaven are the same? And is it possible that what he did not will cannot be changed? What is immutable besides his will? And what can share its attributes except itself? What wish can rise against his will and be immutable? Lots of questions in this paragraph, but this is essentially saying that nothing is immutable besides God's will. Nothing can change. Nothing can share God's attributes except God and God's creations, which is the truth. And so even though it may seem like this dream is so mesmerizing and so convincing and so strong, it is not God. It is not of God. It is the dream, and it's our job, again, as we always talk about as miracle workers, to wake up to that, to be willing to see past appearances. Let's read the next paragraph. If you could realize nothing is changeless but the will of God, this course would not be difficult for you. For it is this that you do not believe. Yet there is nothing else you could believe if you but looked at what it is. Let us go back to what we said before and think of it more carefully. It must be so that either God is mad or is this world a place of madness. Not one thought of his makes any sense at all within the world, and nothing that the world believes is true has any meaning in his mind at all.
That's a relief.
Right? It sure is.
Because the other way doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
No.
And the world just keeps spinning, and it just doesn't work.
Yep.
And that's the way it is.
Yep, it's true. It is so true. So thank goodness I love how simply it puts this. Either God is mad or this is a place of madness. And if you think about it, of course this is a place of madness. Like, how can it not be if we just, even if we don't turn on the news, it's death, sickness. Like, it's all madness. There's suffering. I said this in a part of my book that, like, even if you're a vegan, like, you still have to kill plants to eat. Like, even to survive requires killing. Like, that doesn't make any sense. It is totally, totally insane. And so it also then flows that not one thought of God's is going to make any sense at all in this world, but nothing that the world believes is true has any meaning in his mind at all. So they're two different things. Did I hear you, Paula? Were you going to say something?
It was so funny because the holidays, I get crazy during the holidays because I get very caught up in it. I do too much. I was starting to get very annoyed with my daughter for one reason or another. Can't even remember what the reason is now. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, what a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit, because I was able to just hand over this madness. I knew where I was at. You know, I knew I was in a state of madness. And I got such a sense of relief to be able to hand that over to the Holy Spirit. And she and I made it through the holiday without any real major clash, which was truly a miracle. I think she was feeling the stress of it all, too. And the Holy Spirit really, it just really is the answer to everything.
Yeah. You know, Paula, as you were as you were talking, I am going through Course Companions, which, by the way, actually, I mentioned this last week, but I'll say it again now. I belong to the membership website of the Circle of Atonement. It's called Course Companions, where basically you read through the course on a schedule, which at first I was like, I kind of was like, no way, that's not going to work for me. It's been glorious. And they're doing a free month for the month of January. So I just wanted to mention that if anybody wanted to go in and check it out.
Where can you?
It's go to coursecompanions.com. And if it doesn't say anything about the free month there, just email me and I'll find. I had to still email. I'm going to be emailing my list about it. So if you're on my email list, you'll definitely get information about it. But it's coursecompanions.com. So I'm on my own reading schedule because I started at an odd time. And I was reading a section. It's in Chapter 5. It's about the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to share this because as you were talking, Paula, about, you know, the Holy Spirit and turning to the Holy Spirit, it struck me this morning when I was doing my reading. There's a sentence that says, the Holy Spirit is the motivation for miracle-mindedness, the will to heal the separation by letting it go. And that first part of the sentence, the Holy Spirit is the motivation for miracle-mindedness, when we are like, oh, how do you hear the Holy Spirit? That moment that you feel inspired, that you're like, oh, I want that breath of God. You want that miracle. You have that motivation come up in you, that flicker or that light that turns on in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It just struck me so in such a big way. You know, sometimes we get so caught in like, oh, I don't know how to hear the Holy Spirit, or I never do. The fact that you feel inspired and motivated to turn to the Holy Spirit or to do any of this, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. That's that motivation for miracle-mindedness. So that came up for me when you were just sharing your story.
I got a physical sense of relief the moment I thought, you know, in my madness, the moment I thought about the Holy Spirit, it was like, oh, wait a minute, what am I doing? I forgot.
Uh-huh.
And the relief that came over me was just, it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It was really wonderful. I don't think I've ever really experienced it quite like that before.
But it
was just like, I don't have to do this.
Yeah.
All I have to do is give this to him, her.
Yep. Yep. That's it.
I wanted to say something.
Hi, Meg.
Hi. I wanted to say something. I this might be a little radical, but the Holy Spirit is actually an aspect of us.
I
would say that that's not so radical. You didn't understand. She said that the Holy Spirit is actually an aspect of us.
Of course, it is.
And yes, I'm saying, Meg, but that's not so radical. I totally agree. did you want to add to that, or is that all you wanted to say?
Well, when you think of the Holy Spirit in that way, as the Holy Spirit actually being an aspect of you, and what that actually does, it is an avenue to, again, tear down separation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Wholeheartedly. Yep. Yep.
And that sensing of the Holy Spirit, I feel, is releasing the ego,
mm-hmm.
and abiding in who you really are.
Absolutely.
100%.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yep. Very simple and very clear.
You know, the very last workbook lesson, and you just repeated it before, this holy instant, what I give to you. He says, if I need a word to help me, he will give it to me. If I need a thought, he will also give. And if I need but stillness and a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts. So this is a given.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to be open to receiving it.
Right. For sure.
And when we get in that crazy place, we're really really not open to, you know, I think we just forget.
Mm-hmm. Because we want to.
Yeah, we absolutely, we want to be right about whatever it is, and we just forget. But then remembering in the middle of the madness is like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I have this wonderful option.
Yep. Oh, wonderful. And I'll add to you just one other thing that just sort of popped into my mind as well. I agree with everything that Meg just said, and, you know, the Holy Spirit is very much in us, part of us, our right mind. And at the same time, and this I still feel is where our limits are in terms of comprehension, but the Course also speaks about the Holy Spirit, that the moment that the sons of God, the Son of God, cut off, I should say, part of, you know, the mind, part of the Son, part of our mind, when we turned away, and God was aware that suddenly part of his communication channels were closed off, God created the Holy Spirit to bridge that gap, to undo, you know, to within the fabric of the dream, to write a different script, and that is the Holy Spirit script of awakening. So, like, there is no separation, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit, you know, it also kind of sounds like something separate, but I think this is, you know, working within the limits of our understanding. So, yay. Okay. Next
well
paragraph.
Put. Well put, what? Corian. Well
oh, good.
Put.
Good. Thank you. Okay, where were we? I think the fourth paragraph, yes. What makes no sense and has no meaning is insanity. And what is madness cannot be the truth. If one belief so deeply valued here is true, then every thought God ever had is an illusion. And if but one thought of his is true, then all beliefs the world gives any meaning to are false and make no sense at all. This is the choice you must make. Do not attempt to see it differently or twist it into something it is not. For only this decision can you make. The rest is up to God and not to you. Oh, I have that sentence, this is the choice you make. I have it in a big circle. So this is, so again, when the Course says something, it means it. And just take this in for a second. If one belief so deeply valued here is true, so if one belief like death or sickness or suffering or lack, whatever it may be, if it's true, then every thought God ever had is an illusion. But if one thought of his is true, then all beliefs the world gives any meaning to are false and make no sense at all. This is the choice you make. So literally, we can't just give over some things and keep what we like, you know, keep the good, but just give over what we don't like. This is about handing over all of it. This is total. This is not about keeping some beliefs going, like, oh, yes, we are. I don't even think, I mean, that expression of that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, I think that's not a complete statement, because it's saying that this human experience is real. Like, we're not even here. And so this is total. This is about not keeping a belief in death while handing everything over, or not keeping a belief in, you know, name whatever that belief may be, while handing everything else over. This is total and this is complete. And this is the choice that we make. Now, we're not going to make that choice completely when we're still scared, when we still think that love is fear, you know, when we're still confused. So that's why this is a gentle process in awakening. And as we turn things over and slowly begin to recognize who we really are, that we've simply just, you know, forgotten that, as we begin to recognize that and have our awareness expand, we keep going and going and open up more and more and more. And so it feels no longer scary to just hand everything over, you know, to open to the truth. And I love how it ends in this paragraph. This is the choice you make. Do not attempt to see it differently or twist it into something it is not. For only this decision can you make. The rest is up to God and not to you.
So what does it mean by do not attempt to see it differently or twist it into something it is not? I mean, I understand that, you know, we're seeing what is not here, or at least I understand the concept. I may not understand it. But I don't understand what when it says do not attempt to see it differently or twist it into something it is not. So none of it is real. So how could we twist it into, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, we're not even here.
Right, but we don't know that. So our twisting it into something it's not or seeing it differently is saying, oh, well, like, for instance, but death is real, you know, but we all die, you know, but that's the guarantee of the, that's the only guarantee in the world kind of thing.
Oh, my
we
God,
have to literally...
Corinne, I swear I was thinking right before I asked that question, and you just said, well, but death is not, this is so bizarre. I was just thinking about my father, who, as I've shared with you all, that passed away about 7 months ago. And my husband and I were having this conversation because we were walking the other day, and, you know, all of a sudden a memory came, and I was thinking about him, and tears were coming, and I just was feeling my sadness. And my husband, who lost his parents a few years ago, he went through it in such a, like, graceful way with, really, with God. And it wasn't that he was trying to tell me, like, don't feel your feelings, but he said, you know, be careful, because the ego can make something out of that. And I said, well, how did you do it? Well, how did you go through this process? I think I'm just honoring my feelings. And he said, no, honor your feelings, but I'm just saying be careful, because the ego has a tendency to use everything. And, you know, he said, what worked for me and what helped me to totally see this differently is I really, there was a deep understanding that there was no death. They didn't die. And I'm still not there, but mm-hmm. I think this kind of, like, when you just said, well, you know, keeping the belief that death is real, or there's a part of me that still believes that death is real, because he was here, seemingly here, and now he's not here in the body, right? But neither am I.
mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
I can talk about it, but it's still. It's hard to really grasp the depth of that.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know, again, we are exactly where we need to be in our growth and learning. And even if we understand it, you know, intellectually in our heads, but it hasn't shown up yet experientially, that's okay. One of the experiences, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, I watched a movie called Astral City. It's an older film. It has English subtitles. I think it's in Spanish. I think it was filmed in Spain. I don't remember now. But it's mm-hmm. called Astral City. And watching that movie brought about an experience in me of exactly what you just said, of like knowing that there is no death. Like, there is no death. I highly recommend that film. It is hard to find. You can rent it through Amazon, like digitally. I bought a copy, but I could only get it on Blu-ray. So, uh-huh. It's that, you know, these experiences. Yeah, we're like all about movies tonight. these experiences come little by little as we're willing to let them in. So just the fact that you're able again to see that like, yeah, you know, this pesky belief in death still is in my mind, and it's still in mine too. You know, we see that and we say, all right, again, I'm willing to question everything. I'm willing to question this belief in death too.
I think it's because we get caught up in the world.
Corinne, thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I think Paula first and then Meg. Is that okay?
Fine.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Go for it, Paula.
We just get caught up in the world. We get caught up in the activities. Christmas Day, my nieces, Stephanie came in the door, and she actually walked to the bedroom, and she said, oh, my God, I just feel like Uncle Pete is here. That's my husband, her uncle. And I'm caught up in serving everybody and doing the whole Christmas thing. Her sister, Carrie, came like a half an hour later. She comes in the door, and she says, whoa, she said, I really feel Uncle Pete's present here today. What's going on?
Oh, wow.
They were in, obviously, they were in a spot where they could sense that. Now, I got goosebumps, and goosebumps always give me an indication that, oh, yeah. but I thought that was, but I was in no, I was so caught up in all of the, you know, the day that, and that's what happens to us. We go off into the dream.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this whole thing feels so real, but boy, when we're not in that dream and you've got that, ooh, that, and everybody feels it at times, you know, that connection.
We do.
We
always come back a little bit different, you know. Every time we go into that space, even when we forget again and get totally caught up by the picture, it's still different. It's, you know, we come out of it faster, or we turn to the Holy Spirit quicker, or, you know, something is different. Always. Meg, you wanted to share something.
Yes, I wanted to say thank you so much, Corinne, because I have that DVD, but I haven't watched it yet. So thank you for recommending that.
Oh, good. I can't wait for you to watch it and let me know what you think, because I just was in love, absolutely in love with that movie.
Corinne?
Sue, then DJ.
I just want to say one thing. You know, in the book, the Course refers to it as the dream. I have been seeing, it's been interesting, like on Facebook or different places, where they're talking about simulated reality a lot. I don't know if you've been seeing that or not, but have you been seeing that?
No.
Yes, where there was a guy on Facebook just the other day. He has a course he's offering about, you know, what if you are really not experiencing reality? What if everything you see is just a simulated reality and there's something beyond that is much more real than what you are experiencing? And he has it. First one is like, I forget what the first part of the course is. The second part is the rabbit hole. You know, you really start, you know, feeling different from other people. He says, when you realize that other people are just projections, he says, it does take a lot of adjustments. And I thought to myself, I could not do that without the background and the faith that I am being led through that by something that loves me and something that cares about, you know, getting me home. No way could I do that intellectually. Mm-hmm. I didn't think, you know, I thought that is not for me. I have to do that with, like we were talking about, the Holy Spirit, my higher self, because that part of my mind knows.
Mm-hmm. Yes, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful.
I just wondered if you've been seeing that stuff lately.
Yeah, no, maybe, you know, if you click on one thing related to that, you're going to start seeing ads that are on the same, you know, they track us, whatever.
Yeah.
But good, that's super cool. Thank you for sharing that, Sue. Deidre, you were going to share something.
Yeah, I'm reading from the CE tonight, Corinne. So I'm looking at the paragraph that we just read, and the part where it says, and if but one thought of his is true, then all beliefs the world gives any meaning are false and make no sense at all. The word one, as in one thought of his is true, is underlined. And I find that incredibly exciting, because to me that suggests that it's all about faith, right? We don't need to even believe that every single thought is true, because as we've shared so many times on these calls, we have these glimpses. And if we all had 1,000% faith all the time, we wouldn't be on these calls. But it says one thought. So I just wanted to share that, because we can't have these glimpses that we all share because our minds are joined. We're one mind. So we all have that belief already, and I find that really exciting.
That is exciting. Thank you for highlighting that. It's so exciting. Oh, yeah. I really appreciate in the CE edition how the underlining, I guess, that Helen did, or however it was that she emphasized it, how we can still see that in the text in the print. So thank you for highlighting that. Just one thought. Ah, oh, yay. Okay, shall we read the next paragraph? Mm-hmm. Let's do it. To justify one value that the world upholds, and again, one is underlined, so let me read that again. To justify one value that the world upholds is to deny your father's sanity and yours. For God and his beloved Son do not think differently. And it is the agreement of their thought that makes the Son a co-creator with the mind whose thought created him. And if he chooses to believe one thought opposed to truth, he has decided he is not his father's son, because the son is mad and sanity must lie apart from both the father and the son. This you believe. Think not that this belief depends upon the form it takes. Who thinks the world is sane in any way is justified in anything it thinks or is maintained by any form of reason believes this to be true. I feel like I need to read that last sentence one more time. Who thinks the world is sane in any way is justified in anything it thinks or is maintained by any form of reason believes this to be true. There we go. So there is that emphasis on one again. So there again, so just take the belief that, death is the only guarantee in this world. That's a worldly belief, right? If we take that one thought as true, to justify that one thought that the world upholds is to deny your father's sanity and yours. So it only takes one thought of the ego, and we are turning away from truth. I also just want to emphasize that this moment, what's bubbling up again is based on my reading that I'm doing earlier in this text about how the ego is simply a part of our belief about ourselves. It is not a separate thing. It has no energy. The only thing that it has is our belief. That's the only thing that we are pouring into it to make it seem like it's anything. So it's just a part of our belief about ourselves. And to listen to any of the insane beliefs that part of our, own mind has come up with is to deny love. And we're learning we don't want to do that anymore. Oh, anybody want to add anything? Anything coming up for you? This is so good. I'm loving our discussion tonight. It's so inspiring. I also like how it says in this paragraph, think not that this belief depends upon the form it takes. It goes on to say, who thinks the world is sane in any way, ... believes this to be true. So it doesn't matter the form that the insane beliefs take, whether that form is something that we would label as unpleasant or whether we might label it as pleasant, it's all untrue. It doesn't mean we can't be happy. We're supposed to be happy and joyous, but that we can walk around knowing that this world is not our home, that our home abides in our Father, who loves us very much.
So interesting that you highlighted that line, because that stood out to me too, because I've been having some health stuff going on this last month, and then this whole year I've been having issues with high blood pressure, just kind of out of the blue. And as you were reading that, it just made me have this kind of deep realization that can't be real. Like, it's been so real to me, just everything around it, trying to figure out if I should do medication and blah, 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 all this stuff causing stress. And just like in this moment, it was like, poof, like it's, you know, put anything in that blank. It's just not real.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Paul,
it was it's like that moment.
I so get what you're saying. And I want to share something that I was watching. Lisa Natoli put out a video. It was one of her Friday study group videos, and I can't remember the name of it at the moment, but she drew this circle on the piece of paper to represent God. Now, of course, God is not contained by a circle. God is everywhere. But just to understand in our brain, you know, putting God as a circle and then putting us, ourself, our small self-identification as a point outside that circle. And what struck me, so I'm going to paraphrase, and this is kind of what I took from it, not necessarily her words, but I think this was her message. You know, we tend to think of God as like out there, like separate from us, basically. And when we're identified with that little point, we're consumed by the, you know, the worries, the health stuff, like, you know, oh, what should I do about this or that? And I know that so well because, as you all know, that was like my number one anxiety pattern was surrounding health stuff. And what she said that, again, brought about such a deep experience for me was to, like, reorient yourself. So put yourself inside that circle looking out. So it's not like, you know, you're looking at God or like, you know, letting the love come through you. Like, you're seeing with Spirit's vision. You're seeing with those, with Christ's mind. The Course says, Christ's mind, in the CE edition, Christ's mind is yours. And to identify with Christ's mind means that we are refusing to miscreate, which is what Jesus did. He refused to miscreate. He refused, you know, misthought. To identify with that, with the mind of God, is to be willing to see what you just articulated, Paul, in all of that stuff being false, to literally exhume those beliefs in sickness and whatever it is, to get those beliefs out, to release them, to hand them over, for them to be out of our mind. So I just wanted to add that to what you just said because it just,
yeah, that's what it felt like. I think just being in the space of this call with everyone and hearing those words, it was like I had a moment where I was able to do that after so long, and that's probably why it felt so different, but really that's reality. So
yeah. 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 Oh, I love it. And you know, again, this is where it helps us all. So you're having that experience now, even if we're on the call and we didn't feel like we had that experience, it doesn't matter. It's still, we still all benefit.
Yes.
Oh, awesome, Paul. Thank you so much. Anything else bubbling up for anybody? We have just a couple minutes left.
Yeah, Corinne, can you talk a little bit about that, those two last lines? So where it says, who thinks the world is sane in any way is justified in anything it thinks. I get that part. And then the second part says, or is maintained by any form of reason, believes this to be true. Believes what to be true? What is this? This meaning this experience, this form, whatever is showing up?
I'm taking that. Let me just read the sentence one more time.
Sure.
Who thinks the world is sane in any way, is justified in anything it thinks, or is maintained by any form of reason, believes this to be true. I think I'm interpreting that as believes that the world is sane. But I might be – does anybody – that is a confusing sentence with the – what am I saying? The commas. Let me just read a couple sentences back just to make sure. This you believe, it might be, hold on. Believes this true to be true, that we've decided that we're not our Father's son.
Okay.
That's what I think it is.
Thank you.
So yeah. Is that saying that love, the love that you see, in the world is not true?
No, I don't think so. Because the Course clearly says the only part of the world that has any truth is whatever part of it you look that you look upon with love.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's read the next paragraph because sometimes it clarifies the prior paragraph. We'll read one more and then we'll end. Sin is not real because the Father and the Son are not insane. The world is meaningless because it rests on sin. Who could create the changeless? Who could create the changeless if it does not rest on truth? The Holy Spirit has the power to change the whole foundation of the world you see to something else. A basis not insane, on which a sane perception can be based, another world perceived, and one in which nothing is contradicted that would lead the Son of God to sanity and joy. Nothing attests to death and cruelty, to separation and to differences. For here is everything perceived as one, and no one loses that each one may gain. That's a good place for us to pause for the week. Ah, so thank goodness, right, that all those insane ego beliefs, all of it, aren't true, because Father and the Son are not insane. And I love this other sentence where it says, the Holy Spirit has the power to change the whole foundation of the world you see to something else. This is where, you know, the world is transformed. It doesn't, what does it say in the Manual for Teachers? It's in the section, How Will the World End? It ends in laughter because it was a place of sorrows. It ends in joy. The Holy Spirit literally repurposes the entire world. And that perception is available to us now. This is not something later. It is now. It's there only on our choice.
Corinne, that's exactly what I experienced. That's what I was talking about earlier. In the middle of insanity, the Holy Spirit has the power to change the whole foundation of the world you see to something else. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened.
That's funny, Paula, because I keep hearing you, because you like to quote the part of the Course that says, and he will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision.
And when I will let him.
Yes, and when Corinne was reading that, all I could hear was your voice.
that's exactly it. I was willing to let him. And honestly, it's just miraculous when we're willing to do that. I'm not always willing to do that, but I happened to be willing at that moment, and it was like, oh, my God.
I love it.
You know what that's like? And I was thinking that before. It's actually letting go.
Yeah. That's just another way of putting it.
Right. It's surrender. It's surrender.
Yeah.
I don't like the word surrender for some reason, but that's okay. Let's not go there. But anyway, wonderful tonight. This was absolutely wonderful.
It was. I cannot thank you all enough for being here, for taking the time. And, as we share these ideas, we strengthen them in our minds. So I truly, truly thank you from the bottom of my heart for showing up. I love you all, and I will see you next week.
And Happy New Year.
Love you.
Happy thank
New
you.
Year.
Happy New Year.
Love you all.
Happy New Year.
Good night. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.